Go European with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi and welcome to the 76th episode of Robots. I'm Jana, and today is the first of two special episodes featuring interviews from the European Robots Forum, which was held earlier this month in Sweden. The forum is a conference organised jointly by the European Robots Technology Platform, Europe, and the European Robots Research Network, EURON. It gives members from companies, universities and organisations all over Europe an opportunity to cooperate and strengthen Europe's competence and competitiveness in the field of robotics. Our reporter Adrian was invited to attend the forum by EUnited Robotics and got a chance to speak to some of Europe's leading robotics experts. In this episode, we will hear from Jessica Carlson, representative of the Robot Dahlen Initiative, Ola Swanström, head of ABB Product Management, and Mo Shoham, CTO and founder of Mesa Robotics. But first, as always, here's the news.
An Australian hobbyist has created a boxing robot. The robot is called Punching Pro and consists of an upper torso, complete with a head and two arms. The head is mounted on a firm spring. Both arms are actuated using two 12-volt windshield wiper motors. They consist of a rotational shoulder axis and a cable-controlled elbow, allowing them to tuck, swing, and extend, not unlike a human boxer's. While the robot's basic arm motion is a rather monotonic left-right, left-right, a third motor can be added, which introduces random combinations of hooks and jabs to the mix. The robot's inventor, Chris Tresiden, is now looking for a sponsor, bring the punching bag that punches back to a gym near you. U.S. company Willow Garage, which you may remember from our previous interview with its CEO Steve Cousins, or various news reports on the robot operating system ROS, the PR2 robot, or their Kinect contest, has released another robot platform for sale. The TurtleBot consists of an iRobot Create base, equipped with a Microsoft Kinect, a 3,000 mAh battery pack, a gyro, and an Asus 1215N laptop with a dual-core processor and a basic mounting structure. It does, of course, run ROS and is sold pre-configured to allow you to easily navigate or create maps out of the box. The robot's core kit, excluding the iRobot Create, large battery pack, and laptop, is available for $500 or 352 euros. The full kit costs $1,200 or 845 euros. For videos of the punching bag that punches back, details on Willow Garage's TurtleBot, as well as lots of other news, have a look at www.robotspodcast.com.
This year's European Robots Forum was hosted by the Robot Dahlen Initiative, which is a Swedish robotics initiative that enables commercial success of new ideas and research within robotics and automation. Its main focus is on solutions for the industry, heavy vehicles and healthcare sectors. Adrian spoke to Jessica Carlson, a representative of Robot Dahlen.
Hello, Mrs. Carlson, and welcome to Robots.
Thank you.
Could you start by introducing yourself to our listeners?
Yes, my name is Jessica Carlson, and I'm the communications manager at Robot Dahlen, a Swedish initiative to strengthen robotics in Sweden.
Okay, and what does Robot Dahlen do, in fact?
Well, our goal is to enable commercial success of new ideas and research within robotics and automation. So we take ideas all the way and support them to the market. And we work mainly in three core areas. It's industrial robotics, field robotics, and technology for independent life.
And what is your goal?
Yeah, we have one goal is by 2013, we should have 35 new products and 35 new companies. And so far, we've reached 17 new products and 17 new companies. And also, we want to create more growth within the field of robotics. And we're also building an innovation system to make sure that robotics companies and entrepreneurs and innovators get the help they need when they have an idea, and that they get the support they need all the way until their product is commercialized.
Are your efforts restricted to Sweden?
No, they're not. I mean, our main goal is to strengthen robotics in Sweden, but we want to cooperate with anyone who's good in the field. I mean, we want to work with the best in the world, both researchers, product developers, entrepreneurs. So we're very open to contacting new people and building networks and supporting each other.
How are you financed?
Most of our financing is from Vinnova, which is the Swedish innovation agency. And we also have a lot of funding from the European Regional Development Fund, and also from a lot of regional companies and the municipalities and the universities in Sweden.
Can you give some examples of successful transfers from ideas to commercial products?
Yes, I can start by giving one example from each core area. One core area is field robotics, where we mainly focus on heavy autonomous vehicles. There is a research center at Örebro University in Sweden that's called AASS, Applied Autonomous Sensor Systems, and they're very good in this field, and they work with the companies like Volvo and Atlas Copco, and they work on developing an autonomous loader for mining and an autonomous wheel loader for an asphalt production site, autonomous forklift trucks. So that's the field that they work in. And one of the big challenges is to make those machines work and create a safe environment as well if people are in the same area. So those are some products. And we also have one product called GroundBot, which is a spherical robot that rolls across the ground. And you can put sensors in it, camera, smoke detector, and it can surveil large areas like ports or airports and that kind of large areas. Instead of sending people out, you can have a robot that watches it. And if we look at industrial robotics, we work very hard to promote new solutions and flexible solutions for small and medium-sized enterprises. And looking at how can we help them invest in automation and robotics to strengthen their competitiveness. And we do pre-studies. So students at universities make pre-studies free of charge to take a look at, okay, what are the possibilities for this small and medium-sized enterprise to invest in robotics, and what are the solutions? And we've done over 200 of those pre-studies, and then we try to help the companies go through with the investment and get everything in place. And
for health robotics?
Yeah. We focus a lot there on making products for disabled so that they get more life quality. We focus on products for the elderly, and we focus on products that will help staff that works in hospitals and within the care sector to get robots that will help them in their everyday work. And to mention a few examples, we have a robot named Giraffe, which is a telepresence solution that pretty much works like Skype, but it's a robot on wheels that can drive around in the home and follow a person. So if you have an older mom or dad and you live in another city or in another country, you can have contact with them through the telepresence and follow them around the house using the Giraffe robot on wheels. And that company actually relocated from Silicon Valley in California to Robotdalen in Sweden. So that's a very nice example. And we also have a robot called RobCab, which is used for transportation in hospitals, because hospital staff spend a lot of time moving things around. It could be blood samples, dirty laundry, beds, you know, whatever. And instead of having the care, the hospital staff do that, you can have a robot do that, and then the hospital staff can give the patients their time instead. So that's another example.
How about the longer term vision? So let's say your goal is achieved. What's next? Will you be expanding the fields in which you operate? Or?
Yes, that could be possible, but we also see that there's still a lot of work to be done in those fields. And Robotalon has been about since 2003, and we want to be about around for a lot longer. And we have a vast network, and we're always looking for new partners to work with. And we also want to create processes that are very good, so that when you have an idea, it should be as easy and smoothly as possible to get the support you need to get it out on the market as soon as possible. And that's one thing that we're very keen on, that we always have an end user in the project from the start, and that we make products or help support developing products that are commercial, so that they are available for the market and that they work in the market. And working with those kind of processes is also a very important part of it. And we want to join together universities and companies in Sweden to help strengthen Sweden in the field of robotics. And also, this year we're hosting the European conference, the European Robotics Forum, and which is also a big step for us, because it also involves widening our network and getting more people into our network. We've made some very interesting contacts here and are looking forward to work with those people.
Thank you for joining us on Robots.
Okay, thank you.
Representatives from a large number of organizations met at this year's European Robots Forum. Adrian also spoke to Ola Svanström, who's head of product management at ABB, a Swiss-Swedish conglomerate and one of the world's leaders in power and automation technology.
Hello, Mr. Svanström, and welcome to Robots.
Thank you.
Could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, my name is Ola Svanström, and I'm the head of product management at ABB Robotics. Which means that we are in charge of designing what new products to introduce on the market and the specification for those products, as well as what products to take out from the market to phase out.
Can you briefly summarize robots at ABB?
Yes, robotics is a very important business unit at ABB, and we are active in both products, in service, in systems, and in application of robots. So we cover basically everything when it comes to robots.
Could you tell us what is your vision of the current state of the market in robotics? Is it has it taken a fall? Is it back on its feet?
Yes, it's definitely back. We had the deep recession 2009, where the volume dropped almost 50% on the world market, and now it's definitely back, and it's also growing, and I foresee that it will continue to grow even beyond 2011.
Could you tell us what caused this fall?
The cause was the recession in general and the bank crisis 2008. mid-2008, which led a lot of consumers into a situation where they didn't buy so much as before, which means that also the car industry got hit very badly. And very much of the industrial robot volume is sold to production related to the car production. So if people are buying more cars, then the automotive industry need to expand their capacity, and we sell a lot. And if they buy a few cars, it's bad for us, then they don't buy almost anything.
Where does ABB focus more in terms of research and development? Is it on hardware or software? Is it both?
Money-wise, I would say it's roughly the same amount of money spent on hardware and software. But we see that most of the time we bring more value with software products. But we need the hardware products to cover the range needed. We need small robots, we need big robots, we need positioners, etc., different positioners. So we need to spend a lot of these hardware devices, because otherwise we do not cover the market. But when it comes to value, it's for sure that the software brings more value to the products.
The traditional challenges in industrial robotics have been for speed and accuracy, but now we're seeing more a challenge in human-robot interaction. Is ABB doing anything in that direction?
First, to comment on speed and accuracy, we actually have a few cases where customers want to have low speed now. So, and it has always been about having high speed, and because of loads in fundaments and things like that. So actually, it's a little bit the new question coming up, that they want to reduce the performance of the robot, and that's new for us. Then when it comes to robot-human interaction, it's for sure an area for the future. I would say there are two technologies involved which are important here. First, we have the safety issue, and I would say that's more or less solved with different solutions available in the industry today. We can build safe solutions. The second technology area is interaction between robots and humans. And just let me give you an example. If you have a rehabilitation task to do with a patient at the hospital, it's easy to make safe motions with a human arm forth and back, but it's more difficult to interact with a human. If the motion feels bad for the human needs the ability to tell the robot that I don't want to have that motion, I want to have it slightly different, and so on. So that's an example of the interaction, and there I see a need for more research in the future.
Where do you see robots at ABB heading more into the future, the field of robotics?
I would say that there is still a huge number of possibilities in different industries where we have not been active in the past, and we see some of those industries are merging. Last 10 years we have experienced solar industry coming, more and more wind power, electronics and things like that. And I still see that at least if we look at the next 5 years, we will develop those industries much, much more. It's still a huge untapped possibility.
Do you see potential for industrial success in what are today mostly academic futuristic projects?
Yes, there are possibilities, and I want to just again mention the human robot interaction as one important area. If we can get the robots more interactive with humans in a natural way, I think they will open up a lot of new possibilities.
Thank you for joining us on Robots.
Thank you.
Also at this year's European Robots Forum was Professor Mosh Shoham, the CTO and founder of Mesa Robotics. His company is expert in making state-of-the-art robots for application in surgery. Their flagship product, SpineAssist, is a specially designed surgical robotic system that enables surgeons to conduct safer and more accurate spine surgeries. Adrian managed to speak to Professor Shoham at the conference.
Hello, Moshe, and welcome to Robots. Could you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Okay, my name is Moshe Shuhan. I'm from the robotic laboratory at the Technion, Israel Institute of Technology, and I'm managing the robotic branch over there. From the robotic laboratory, we concentrated in the last, let's say, about 10 years, maybe even more than 10 years, about medical applications. And there are several projects that mature the laboratory and actually get into the operating room, being a company and then getting into the operating room. One of those is a robot for spine surgery manufactured by Mazur Robotics that is a small robot that gives the surgeon precise location where, for example, it has to insert the implants into the spine. This robot is in regular use. It has about, there are about 20 systems in Europe right now operating every day. And there are systems in Israel, United States, Russia. Up to now, there were more than 2,000 cases with the robot and more than 10,000 implants. And we can clearly say that the results that we get by using the robot in terms of accuracy and in terms of damage to the patient is much better than what the surgeon can achieve with a free hand. This is something that it is, there are many published articles out there that gives the actual comparison. So this is one product, and the other product that also matured the laboratory and right now it's going out is a small robot, very small, that can go actually inside the human body. And this one is called VIROB, V-I-R-O-B, VIROB robot. And we will use it to crawl within the human body to reach not accessible locations that cannot be accessed from the outside for drug delivery and for inspection.
You've mentioned that the spine assist is used for implants, for placing very accurately the implants. Is it also used for other types of surgeries?
Yeah, right now it has been used mostly for pedicle screw insertion into the spine for what is called spinal fusion. But there are other spine applications like, for example, vertebroplasty and for tumor resections. They do the robot to actually lead the surgeon to the precise location. It can be done in close, which means percutaneously, not open surgery. And this is something that usually it's difficult to do without the robot because the robot actually can see inside using image-based technology and you doesn't have to open the patient to actually see what's going inside. So about 50% of the cases is done with the robot percutaneously. And up to now, there is no one case of a permanent nerve damage resulting from these cases. We hope it will continue like that, but in comparison to what there is in the statistics, that about 3 to 5% has permanent nerve damage, we can say that about up to now about 100 people that right now are walking without any problem, that without the robot applications they might have some kind of permanent nerve damage.
Is the training difficult for the surgeon to use this?
This is something that you have to train the surgeon to do because it changes a bit the workflow. So the surgeon has to be trained for that, and we have several locations where they perform the surgery independently, and there are several locations where they perform the case with a representative from the company. So it depends on the surgeon, because the surgeon can learn that quite easily, but in several cases, it depends on the culture of the hospital. In several cases, they want to be a representative from the company, even though they can perform it by themselves.
Apart from VIROB, do you have other projects on the pipeline, so to speak?
Yeah, we have some others. One is for called TipCut, which stands for T-propel catheter, It is some kind of a locomotion that takes the catheter inside the body rather than from push the catheter from the outside. So this is another project that we are right now pursuing. And this also matured the laboratory, and it is going right now to a spin-off company.
Not to Maser?
Not to Maser, another spin-off company, a company by the name Micron Medical, that it is started not long ago.
Thank you, Moshe, for joining us on Robots.
Thank you very much.
That's it for today's episode. Next time, we will go back to the European Robotics Forum to hear from Bernd Liepert from KUKA and Rich Walker from Shadow Robot in the second of this special two-part series. I hope you'll join us again. Until then, goodbye. Go European with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.